Well, I'm going to tell you an experience that I had that I've told you before, but it is really good for this Sunday. It's the most important experience I ever had. It was a mystical experience, and I had it while I was staying at a Trappist monastery. And I had been in silence for 2 months. 2 months kind of talking to myself and hoping that God would talk to me as well. And one morning I was walking along a path, and all of a sudden, everything was filled with light. This had nothing to do with LSD. Yeah. It was the Holy Spirit. Everything filled with light. The barn was full of light. The fence was full of light. The sidewalk, my hands, the bull in the field next to me, full of light. And not only were they full of light, but what shocked me and what shocks me to this day is that everything in the world was happy. Happy. The barn was happy. The fence, barbed wire, was happy. The bull, happy. My hands, happy. And then I looked up to the sky and I realized that God was happy. He wasn't stern, he wasn't worried, he wasn't angry. God was happy. And then I said to myself, well, God, if you walked around in my shoes a little while, you wouldn't be so happy. The little fighter down here. And it all shut down. The barn was just the barn, the fence was just the fence, and the bull was just the bull. Well, that changed my life. Do you realize that everything here is happy? The lights, the chairs, the walls, the tree. Everything but us. We're the holdouts. At Christmas, we celebrate Jesus having a third world birth, a happy third world birth. Happy shepherds, happy animals, probably some happy children, everything bathed in starlight. Strong and awkward and happy, Joseph, Mary exhausted but pleased. The baby Jesus in a stone manger, swaddled tight against the damp night. Rumors of wise men on their way to visit. Jesus was welcomed with excitement, loved as one expected for hundreds of years. Born to the sound of angelic singing. This is how we remember his birth. The birth of the Savior, the birth of love itself into a world ripped by fear and torn with hatred. The world hasn't changed, but nor has his happiness. We're all searching for love. Love is complicated. When we find love, we think we'll finally be happy. When I was in college, I thought that getting married would finally give me love and make me happy. I would carry around poems I wrote about love and marriage, waiting for a woman to walk up to me and ask what was in my folder. Finally, I figured out that no woman except my mother would ever ask what was in the tattered folder I carried around. So I took matters into my own hands and started asking girls out. I read my poems at dinner. It was a disaster. One girl told me that this was too much like school. This wasn't a date, it was English class. I went through college pretty much alone for the first 2 years. Then I found out that kissing and hugging and sex kind of made a difference. They were much better than poetry. But love can be confusing. Kissing and hugging and sex in general was more exciting than poetry, but it never seemed to go anywhere. But endless discussions about our relationship. Are we in love? Aren't we in love? Am I in love today? Will we be in love tomorrow? Were we in love yesterday? I began to sour on getting married as a way to happiness and love, and started writing poems about God and ended up in the Catholic priesthood. I went from lots of sex to no sex, and it was, but I kept writing poetry. That's in the priesthood, love was very universal, but not very personal. More confusion about love. Love was always just beyond reach. Now, love can be disappointing. Women especially take responsibility for a loving relationship. You say, my love wasn't enough, so he left me, or he hurt me, or he shut down. There are lots of ways to leave a relationship without leaving, and one is to go into your shell and get lost in TV. The love here on earth is not only a bit scarce, but often twisted into ideas and sacrifice and made into a deal. The deal is often that the person I love be more like me than like themselves. You ever notice that? They keep wanting to change me into them. That's what I noticed. Celibacy looked pretty good when I saw that. I like to say that a happy marriage depends on whether I can forgive my spouse for not being like me. When Jesus loved people, he didn't say how much it hurt him, or what a sacrifice he was making, or how attracted he was to a person's body. He looked into the eyes of people and saw their souls, asking for the only thing that ever makes us happy, to be valued for who we are. Celebrated for the love each of us is, created in the image of love itself. When my wife and I were dating, I told her that I loved her, and I only wanted to make her happy. She laughed. She said, I love you too, but I'm already happy. Now what are you gonna do? I didn't know what to say. I was a fixer, and I had a little emotional toolbox that I brought to every relationship so I could fix the girl. Yeah, you all have been in those relationships. I see. The little fixer, yeah. He's a very stubborn little guy. Well, she told me, don't fix me, Tom. I'm not broken. Accept me and my happiness, and everything will be all right. It's been 31 years, and I'm a believer. We forget that Jesus was happy. He partied, ate with sinners, drank with tax collectors, traded jokes with prostitutes. John the Baptist was puzzled by the celebrating Jesus and asked if he were the one expected or should we look for someone else. That's in Matthew. It really It's really in there. You can imagine, you know, God was supposed to be solemn, authoritarian, judgmental, and often murderous. Definitely not happy. You didn't pray with a smile on your face. You prayed a little worried of what might happen if you got it wrong. Yet here was Jesus, having a ball with the human race, healing, eating, drinking, accepting everybody, loving without critique, no questions asked. Edgar Casey, the famous psychic, said in trance that on the way to the cross, Jesus told jokes. Pharisee jokes, I guess, like Pollock jokes, you know. I told that to a group of nuns one time, and half of them walked out. There Jesus was sad and grim, sacrificing, and like all humans, when they sacrifice, a bit resentful. For too long, the cross of Jesus has been a sign of guilt rather than forgiveness. The Jesus whose birth we celebrate a week from Monday was a happy man. When he shared his joy with the sick, they got well. When he smiled at tax collectors, they followed him. When he touched lepers, their disfigurement disappeared, and they rushed back to their villages to be a part of things. Wherever Jesus went, there was delighted expectation and dancing in the streets. But the world is not happy these days. We're trying to find out what's right in the world by focusing on what's wrong with each other. It's all criticism. It's all critique. It's all what's wrong with you so we can be all right. Many of you have stopped watching the news because it's so disturbing. People hating each other, killing each other, committing atrocities that are unspeakable. Now more than ever, we need Christmas. We need the loving Jesus. But not only the loving Jesus, we need the happy Jesus. So often our portrait of Christ is that of a sad and dying man being tortured to death. Yet that was not Jesus at all. He brought joy, was engaging with everybody, and left behind him sweet memories of healing and celebration. He loved the world and each one of us. And yet we have abandoned love again in Ukraine, in Israel, in our politics, and with each other. Every person for themselves, and how much will it cost? This Christmas, don't stand for it. Share your happiness with one another. Insist on joy, for joy is the signature of love, and it is the meaning of Christmas. Amen. Thank you. Laura told me, I thought she said, it's time for medication. I felt like a patient. So let's put your feet on the floor and your head in the clouds. And remember that you are made of love. You are not simply a group of chemicals, 13 cents worth of minerals and chemicals. You are love itself. Come to this place of darkness, to bring light, to bring joy, to bring hope. We have a mission in the world, and our mission is delight. To be the light of the world. To be all that's good and true, to be all that's gentle and open and understanding. Let us now settle into our being that is love, not fear. And remember that we are so loved by God, that we are loved by each other, and even that we are loved by ourselves. It's all right. Relax. Christmas is coming. Jesus is on his way. He's laughing.
Show through me as I obey.